First, we sometimes see portrayals in pop culture of people with OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. But in the real world, what's it like to live with OCD from day to day? Jason Adam Katzenstein has used his artistic abilities to answer that question about his experience with OCD. Jason is a cartoonist and writer. He's done work for The New Yorker, New York Times, Mad Magazine, and Cartoon Network. His new book is called Everything is an Emergency, an OCD Story in Words and Pictures. Jason, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Well, Jason, as a cartoonist, you're generally trying to make yourself and your readers laugh. What led you into wanting to draw and write about your own experience with OCD?
Well, there's also definitely a rich tradition of memoir and autobiographical stories and comics. But for me, OCD, I think, is pretty consistent with wanting to make people laugh or just drawing work that is kind of outlandish because it feels like a cartoon to me.
And I thought going into this, really a comic about OCD? But then reading it, I thought, yes, a comic about OCD, because you're able to visualize so many of your experiences as a child and then as a grown-up. It actually seems like kind of a natural when you're actually reading it.
Oh, I'm so glad that you felt that way, because I talked to a lot of friends with OCD about how it's very strange to try and convey to other people what's happening because they're not seeing it. A lot of this really is going on in our brains. And so I wanted to draw visually the way that it felt.
Can you talk a little bit about life as a kid with OCD, especially before you even, you know, maybe even heard that phrase or got that diagnosis? What was that experience like for you?
Oh, yeah. Well, I felt insane, really, because I knew that there were these things that were these thoughts that were, rolling around in my brain. And I was performing these actions. And I knew even at the time that they were not rational and they were not what other kids were doing. But I also didn't know how to stop doing them. And so I think before I got the diagnosis, there was, on top of the obsessions and the compulsions, this like, I'm so weird, I'm so crazy. If anybody knew what I was secretly doing, they would make fun of me all the time.
And early on, you sought solace and I think expression through art. What led you into that, which of course became your career?
I've just always naturally loved to draw. I think that the thing also that is pretty coherent with some of these thoughts and also drawing is that it's a way to exert control over my world.
You had an experience that I've heard also sometimes from people who have had depression or bipolar disorder, this concern if they seek treatment, especially if they seek medical treatment, they ask themselves, am I going to lose my creativity? Is this condition the thing that leads to my art? Can you talk about how you thought through that over the years?
Yeah, I think that it's a myth that we see again and again in our stories, in movies, on television, in books. And part of me knew, okay, maybe this is just a myth, and then another part suspected, well, maybe this is true, and maybe I need to be miserable to make work, or I just wasn't used to feeling any other way. And so if the creativity was happening when I was feeling this way, what would happen when some of the symptoms were removed? But I do look at the book as kind of a rebuttal to that notion, because this is a book that I made after I really tended to some of this stuff, and I was feeling great, and I was feeling very creative.
And not only that, and other people have told me roughly the same thing, once you started to get a handle on OCD, you re-fell in love with creating art.
Yeah, and I hadn't even realized that I'd forgotten what it felt like to really love it.
We are talking about a life with obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD. Jason Adam Katzenstein is with us. His new book, it's a comic, a graphic novel. It's called Everything is an Emergency, an OCD Story in Words and Pictures. Can you talk about how OCD affected your relations with other people over the years, with, you know, when you went out into the world and were making friends?
Well, I think that to be close to somebody with OCD is to watch them deal with a lot of pain, and it's hard to know how to help exactly. The friends in my life, my family, sometimes they want to perform my compulsions for me, like open doors, right? Wash things, keep me away from the world and the things that really scare me. And it's an impulse that I really understand, but it's also one that legitimizes the initial obsessions. So just like when I do those things, when I wash my hands over and over, it makes it feel like the thing that I'm afraid of, I should be afraid of. That's also true when the people who love me and care about me do that stuff. And so for me, it's been a process of trying to get better at asking for what I actually need, which is not for people to make me feel more comfortable in the moment, but for them to support me. So together, you know, we can get over whatever the obsessive thought is. But it must also be quite frustrating. I mean, I don't even want to conjecture here. It is frustrating. Like I've talked to friends about it. And, you know, if you watch somebody step on the same rake over and over, that's frustrating.
Something that surprised me, you write and talk about your experience in group sessions with other people with obsessive compulsive disorder. And do I have this right? You kind of made fun of each other's compulsions. That was kind of part of the treatment.
Yeah. That was something that I was surprised about going in. but it actually, I mean, it made a lot of sense to me as somebody who does comedy, because one thing that you do with jokes is you take the winds out of the sails of power. And so things that feel like these threats can be made into things that are ridiculous. And that's a tool that you use in satire all the time. So it was a way to kind of satirize our OCD and take some of the power away.
You also draw your renditions of some of the experiences you had with OCD. You have characters called contamination, guilt, panic, relationships, and also OCD itself is kind of a character. Is that part of how you have learned to deal with it by treating it as a separate character in your life?
Yeah, there's a lot of OCD therapy. There's this refrain, it's not me, it's my OCD. There's, I mean, one thing that can be really distressing about having OCD is feeling like, well, am I somebody who really wants this? Or am I somebody who's really like this? And so there is a bit of separating work that you need to learn to do between yourself and this part of you. And so comics are a great medium for personifying that separation. So it's like me in a weird costume, or it's like, you know, the monstrous distorted version of the thing.
I want to talk about the treatment that you went through a little bit. And part of it was working with this group and kind of making fun of each other's compulsions. Part of it was seeing the OCD as a separate character, but also confronting the compulsions and the fears of contamination. You had literally one of the treatments was to touch your shoe and then to touch your face. And that sounds like it was really hard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was really hard. So that's called exposure and response prevention therapy. And what you do is you intentionally summon the things that are distressing to you. And so I've had a lot of contamination obsessions over the years. And what you do is you make a hierarchy. And so that was a pretty low level exposure because it's something that felt icky, but it also felt like something I could do. Whereas higher level exposures would revolve around things like public restrooms. And so... You don't just do it. You do it, and then you refrain from doing the thing that your brain says is the thing that's going to save you. So you touch your shoe, you touch your face, and you don't wash. And that feels distressing, but you do it over and over again. And when you do that and you teach yourself that the distress is a little bit out of whack with the actual thing that you're doing, it's like you're learning to rehabituate yourself to the situation, and you're teaching your brain that things that feel like really five alarm fire emergencies are not.
You took a long time to work through this and get where you are now, where you're able to write and draw and talk about this. If there's somebody out there listening who has OCD to whatever degree and isn't there or isn't there yet, what would you say to them?
I would say you're not alone. And that's the reason that I made the book too. The community that I've found in group therapy and also friendships, just talking to people about this, has been really, really important to me. And no matter where you are in your recovery process. You're not alone. And knowing that there are people out there who will hold me accountable to my ERP therapy, and knowing that there are people out here out there who are cheering me on, has been essential to my own recovery. And I hope that if you do read this book and there are things in it that you recognize, that you know that there are other people out there who are going to cheer you on too.
It's a good place to leave it. Jason, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Jason Adam Katzenstein is a cartoonist and writer for The New Yorker and elsewhere. We talked to him today about his new book. It's called Everything is an Emergency, an OCD Story in Words and Pictures.